April 10th, the holy martyrs Terentius, Terence, Africanus, Maximus, Pompilius, Pompeius, and 36 others with them. They all suffered for Christ and were crowned with the wreaths of glory during the reign of Emperor Decius. By order of the emperor, the governor of Africa announced to the people that everyone must offer sacrifices to the idols. To those who resisted, the governor threatened with cruel tortures. Upon hearing about these threats, many fell away from the faith and worshipped the idols. However, these 40 remained unwavering in their faith and were exposed to torture. Saint Terentius, Terence, encouraged his companions, saying, "Brothers, let us be on guard that we do not deny Christ our God, lest he deny us before his heavenly Father and holy angels." The governor divided them into two groups. 36 of them, after flogging, scraping off the skin, and pouring salt into their open wounds, were all beheaded. The first 4 they cast into prison with heavy iron chains around their necks, their hands, and their feet. An angel of God appeared in the prison, touched the chains of the shackled, and the chains fell off. After that, the angel prepared a bountiful table for them and fed them. Once again, they were brought out and tortured, and again they were imprisoned. Then the governor ordered the soothsayers to gather as many poisonous, loathsome creatures as possible, such as snakes and scorpions, and to lock them up in the same cell with the martyrs. The loathsome creatures did not want to touch those chosen by God, but rather lay compressed in the corner where they remained for 3 days. On the 3rd day, when the door of the cell was opened, the repulsive creatures rushed out and bit the soothsayers. Finally, the governor pronounced the death penalty upon the 40 martyrs. When they were brought out to be beheaded, they rejoicefully chanted psalms and praised God, who made them worthy of a martyr's death. They suffered honorably in the year 250 A.D., and were found worthy of the kingdom. The 6,000 martyrs in Georgia. In the wilderness of David Garigelli in Georgia, there were 12 monasteries in which many monks practiced and lived the ascetical life for centuries. In 1615 A.D., the great king of Persia, Shah Abbas I, attacked Georgia, devastated it, and beheaded many Christians. Once, while hunting early in the morning on the Feast of the Resurrection, Shah Abbas noticed many lights in the mountains. They were the monks from the 12 monasteries in procession around the Church of the Resurrection with lighted tapers in hand. When the Shah discovered that they were monks, he asked in amazement, "Has not all of Georgia been given over to the sword?" He then ordered his soldiers to immediately go and behead all the monks. At that moment, an angel of God appeared to Abbot Arsenius and informed him of impending death. Arsenius informed his brethren. They all received communion of the all-pure mysteries and prepared themselves for death. Suddenly, the assailants arrived and hacked to pieces. First of all, the abbot, who came before the others, and after that, all the rest. They all suffered honorably and were crowned with incorruptible wreaths in the year 1615 A.D. Thus ended the history of these famous monasteries which, for more than 1,000 years, served as the spiritual hearth of enlightenment for the Georgians. Only 2 of the monasteries exist today, St. David and St. John the Forerunner. The Georgian Emperor Archil gathered the relics of the monks and honorably interred them. Even today, these relics emit a sweet-smelling chrism, oil, and heal the sick. Hymn of Praise, the 6,000 Martyrs of Georgia.
6,000 chosen ones of God, they rejoice in the glorious resurrection. 6,000 hearts of men, the entire flock of innocent lambs, around the church with tapers they processed. Sweet hymns to the resurrection they sang, while the terrible wolf from the midnight darkness with hungry wolves attacked to slaughter the innocent lambs. Those were not lambs, but shepherds, the suffering Georgian race, saints and illuminators, all monks, wonderful ascetics, for all Arsenius foresaw death, and spoke thusly to the monks, Brethren of mine, sons of Georgia, the hour has come to drink of the cup, the sweet cup of suffering for Christ. Behold, the wolves rush through the mountains, faster, brethren, to the all-pure communion, and after that a bloody baptism. Repent for yourself and for the people, and all your thoughts to God direct. Your evildoers you forgive. The doors of paradise for us are opening. Let every brother forgive his brother. Christ is risen, that we resurrect. Faithful to him we are until we die.
Reflection. When a man detaches his mind from earth, opens it toward God with the desire to please God, then God reveals his will in various ways. St. Peter of Damascus writes, "If a man has a full intention to please God, then God teaches him his will either through thoughts, through some other person, or through Holy Scripture. Such a man becomes attentive, keen, and awaits God's promptings from within and from without. For him, chances cease to exist. The entire world becomes as a 10-stringed harp which does not give out one sound without the finger of God." Contemplation. To contemplate the resurrected Lord Jesus. How he appeared to two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they did not recognize him. How the hearts of these two disciples burned within when he spoke to them, and how they recognized him only when he blessed and broke bread for them. How all at once before their eyes the Lord became invisible to them. Homily about living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Brethren, who has dead hope and who has living hope? He who hopes in dead things has a dead hope. He who hopes in the living God has a living hope. Further, he who hopes in himself and in other people has a dead hope. He who hopes in the living God has a living hope. Further, he who hopes in luck and well-being in this brief earthly existence and does not extend his hope beyond the grave has a dead hope. He who hopes in the resurrection and eternal life in the kingdom of heaven has a living hope. Truly a living hope is better than a dead hope, as life is better than death, as light is better than darkness, as health is better than sickness, as understanding is better than ignorance. But who brought and showed man that living hope? Who and how? The Apostle Peter gives an answer to that question. Our Lord Jesus Christ, and that, by his resurrection from the dead, no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ, and by nothing else than his own resurrection from the dead. By his resurrection, the Lord gave wings to the pathetic hopes of man, extended him beyond the grave, and showed him the goal, purpose, and fruit beyond the grave. All of this is not confirmed by a credulous man, but by an apostle, who wavered for a long while in his faith, and who denied Christ 3 times. That is why St. Peter's witness of the resurrected Lord and the significance of his resurrection is inexpressibly priceless for us. O resurrected Lord, victor over death, uproot from us dead hope, and plant a living hope in us through the prayers of St. Peter, your great apostle. To you be glory and thanks always. Amen.